Welcome to a special edition of Herzl's Condo Chronicles. I'm Rita Khan, Director of Marketing at Herzl Law.
And I'm Kevin Herzl, the Managing Member.
So this special episode is due to a stunning turn of events on March 1st, 2024. An Alabama federal court delivered a seismic blow, declaring the Corporate Transparency Act unconstitutional. The impact of this landmark ruling echoed across the nation, leaving policymakers, legal experts, and community leaders in a state of uncertainty. While this is a small victory, the decision casts a shadow of ambiguity over community associations grappling with the complex maze of compliance obligations imposed by the CTA. So Kevin, big news this weekend. What do we make of this? What's going on?
Rita, I'm still in shock. You know, for all of us community association lawyers that spent the past year prepping for this, and then they have a federal court judge going out and do it with a stroke of a pen. You know, it's amazing, but it's just kind of, you know, that's the world that we live in. Never a dull day. Always fun and interesting things.
Definitely.
But to dive right into the opinion, so, you know, at first I think a lot of people weren't quite sure what to make of it, and now everybody's had a little bit of a chance to digest it. But more or less what the federal court judge in Alabama said in response to a lawsuit that was filed by the National Small Business Administration, as well as some of their members, they said that the CTA was unenforceable as to those plaintiffs in that particular case. And so the reason that they said is that it was unconstitutional. There was three different grounds, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later in the episode as to what those are. But they issued an order that said that the CTA could not be enforced by FinCEN or the Department of Treasury against those particular plaintiffs.
Okay.
Important thing to remember is that does not mean that it applies to community associations generally. It does not apply to corporations and other jurisdictions. And so as we sit here today, that ruling likely will be appealed and appellate courts will weigh in, and that may make a final determination as to whether FinCEN continues to enforce the CTA, whether Congress attempts to revisit that and narrows the scope of it or not. But one thing to keep in mind is this ruling in and of itself alone does not exempt community associations from complying with the CTA as we sit here today.
Okay. So how might the federal government's likely appeal of this ruling impact associations and their compliance obligations?
Well, there's a couple different, options. First, I highly anticipate that the federal government is going to appeal. They spent a lot of time, money, energy, and effort building out the online portal, putting this in place. There's a policy reason, obviously, is to combat money laundering, terrorism, that kind of thing. Well, you know, it's probably better if community associations were exempted from this because they are not, a hotbed of activity for terrorist organizations. So I think that, what you're going to see here is the government's probably going to ask for a stay. So the trial court or the appellate court stay could stay that ruling. And even if they don't, like I said, the ruling doesn't have broader applicability to other community associations or non-parties to that case. And so you're going to then see it go up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. So they're going to call balls and strikes on that decision, whether it's valid. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because this is exactly the type of decision that could go up to the Supreme Court that challenges the constitutionality of a federal statute. So, in the end, this thing could take years to play out.
Yep. So if and when it does take years to play out, should associations kind of wait and see what happens, or should they still go ahead and file?
So great question. And so I would say I'd wait at least a few months to see where this goes and how fast it progresses. As we sit here today, the deadline for filing for existing associations is still going to be the end of the year. And so still plan on doing that. You know, a lot of associations were telling them try and schedule it around, when your annual meeting is, doing it immediately thereafter, in case there's a change on the board of director to go ahead and capture that change. And so that's still generally going to be the advice. Some associations may want to wait till the end of the year and not have to, worry about whether they need to do this or not, because the issue may become moot. And based on what FinCEN decides to do, what Congress decides to do, what the courts decide to do, it's entirely possible that no filing requirement will exist whatsoever. There is federal legislation that's out there. Some of the senators have written a letter to FinCEN. They've asked them to move back and delay the implementation of these requirements an additional year. So it's certainly possible that FinCEN may do that on its own and then ask Congress maybe to more narrowly tailor the CTA so it would become constitutional. So that's certainly a possibility as this situation continues to evolve.
So what are the main arguments that's been presented by the federal court for declaring the CTA unconstitutional?
Well, they're essentially what it was is they took a look at what source of authority under the Constitution Congress had to enact this law. So the federal government pointed to three different specific authorities under the Constitution, and none of them were determined to be valid. But the first one was, and strike one for the federal government here, was whether or not under the Foreign Affairs and National Security Clause, whether it was necessary and proper that the federal government could basically take these actions to combat terrorism. Court ultimately said, hey, this is a great policy, but we don't call balls and strikes based on what is good or bad policy. We take a look at what's in the Constitution, and this goes way beyond basically regulating foreign governments, entering into treaties with them, things of that. And this is largely internal in our country. And so there's a much more narrow way that you could do this. And so essentially what the court did there is they said, strike one. So foreign affairs and national security is not going to be a valid reason to do this. They then moved on. In the crux of this case, I think it really hinges on the Commerce Clause, which gives the Congress broad authority to regulate all things that are in commerce. But once again, what the court looked at is the specific language of the CTA and said that it really doesn't regulate commerce, that they didn't spell out in the actual statute how it regulates commerce, and that this could arguably regulate a whole bunch of activity that's not even commercial or regular, you know, even part of commerce. And so since they drafted it too broadly, they didn't really get into any kind of limitations or really have an explicit connection with commerce that was stated in the bill. What they said there is strike two. So we're not gonna use the Commerce Clause to justify this. And then the third one, I think, was kind of the Hail Mary pass for another sports reference there, was taxing power. And essentially what the government argued is that, you know, this is a way for us to ensure that people comply with their obligation to pay taxes and to understand who does that and who has the obligation to pay taxes by collecting this information. And essentially what the court said there is that Congress, you know, under that logic, they could pass any law whatsoever, and then as long as they tied some sort of reporting requirement to it in the name of payment of taxes, it would then be constitutional. So they said, strike three, you're out, government. We're going to throw this law out and declare it to be unconstitutional.
So how does this ruling influence ongoing legislative efforts to modify or exempt community associations from the Corporate Transparency Act?
So certainly the Community Associations Institute's been heavily involved in trying to get some sort of exemption for associations. I anticipate, though, that this ruling that FinCEN, there's a pretty decent chance they may delay compliance because it certainly has the ability to create confusion. They had a one paragraph statement that was issued on their website on March 4th, a few days later. You can tell it was narrowly crafted, definitely drafted by some skillful lawyers, where they said, we will comply with the order, essentially as it applies to the plaintiffs in this particular case, and then they didn't say anything else. I don't take that as a broad sweeping statement that says, we're going to put this whole thing on hold, we're not going to force it to anybody who's not a party to this case. And so what I think that they're going to do is kind of take a wait and see approach as to how this plays out. They may make, like I said, you know, file appeals or request stays, and depending on what the courts do with this, I think that's going to largely drive their decision. If there is pressure from Congress, if they get some pressure from their constituents, I think that may also drive some of the decisions as to the timing of the implementation here as well.
Do you see more of these cases popping up?
Hell yes, absolutely. That's the beautiful.
I mean, why not, right?
That's the beautiful thing about the legal profession. It's a copycat profession, and so one person wins the first case, and everybody else files. The interesting thing, though, I will tell you, is that it's entirely possible a different judge in a different jurisdiction could reach a different conclusion. And I would say that would probably make this even more chaotic and muddy the waters if you have two different courts, one saying the statute's constitutional, another one saying that it's unconstitutional. It's even possible that you can get federal appellate panels that would have different decisions on this as well, which ultimately would pretty much require the Supreme Court to weigh in to resolve that, because I just don't really see a world that exists as to where you'd have a uniform federal statute that everybody has to comply with around the country, and in certain circuits it's constitutional, and in other circuits it's not.
Yep.
So, like I said, this is something that could certainly take years to play out. But between now and the end of the year, I'm pretty confident that FinCEN is going to have to make some decisions, issue some additional guidance. And it may very well just be we're going to keep, you know, rolling along with this, just not enforce it to these select group of individuals that sued us. But, you know, if I'm them, I don't know that that's the smartest policy, because that's just going to encourage anybody who doesn't want to comply with the act to keep suing them and suing them over again. And, you know, maybe that's part of their strategy to ultimately get a decision that they want. But I don't know if that's also a great use of taxpayer dollars, you know, fighting over the same issue over and over again.
True. So ultimately for community associations, there's been this decision, but nothing really has changed in terms of them filing, following the information that FinCEN is requiring them to comply with. So associations should continue to just go operate as business as usual, right?
Yeah, is and that's the best advice I can give you. 4 days. Is that, you know, even though we just had this major legal earthquake, there really hasn't been significant changes as it exists for community associations. So it's still, the message is still plan on compliance by the end of the year for existing associations. If you've already filed, go ahead and file any changes to beneficial owner status within 30 days. You have nothing to lose by doing this. I fully anticipate some associations are going to say, I just want to get this off my mind. I don't care about all the legal gymnastics. I really have nothing to lose by filing this. I'm just going to gather the information, file it, check the box, and be done with it and move on with life.
Yep.
Other people are going to say, hell no, I don't want the government to take a look at my passport that they've already sent me and approved. And it also comes from the federal government. I'm not going to upload that. And this is a pain in the butt. And I don't want to have to, you know, pay a lawyer a small fee to try and figure this out or any of that kind of stuff. So I'm going to sit tight. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait, you know, till the end of the year and see how this plays out. If there's an additional extension, whether I really have to do this or not. Perfectly acceptable position as well. And so really what it's going to come down to, I think, is a matter of risk tolerance and comfort for these boards, whether, you know, they're afraid that, you know, 6 months from now they may forget to revisit this issue, nothing changes, and then they, you know, get popped. Remember, there's, you know, $500 a day in fines, up to $10,000 in potential jail time for failing to comply, assuming that this thing is enforceable, assuming that it's constitutional. And so, you know, this is, I would not say that this is by any means a slam dunk. You know, this is not something that I think a lot of people expected, this particular ruling. It's fairly rare that a federal court will rule that a statute is completely unconstitutional. It's not to say that it won't be upheld by the appellate courts, you know, or the Supreme Court. But certainly a major decision with major implications. And so each association is going to have to make a decision that best suits them. Like I said, it's really going to relate back to their comfort level and risk tolerance as to whether they want to, you know, potentially put this out of sight, out of mind, you know, just deal with it and move on, you know, or whether they want to potentially take advantage of, you know, this ruling and what it may mean. But like I said, the one thing to really keep in mind here is this ruling only applies to the parties of that case. This is not a broad sweeping proclamation that community associations around the country do not need to comply. But that's pretty much where we sit within 4 days of this thing coming out.
Yep.
So, you know, it's always, you know, wonderful that, you know, the subject of our first podcast that we just started.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we obviously have to revisit it because things are always changing.
That tells me that you've done a great job of picking these topics that are certainly hitting on the hot button.
Yes, definitely. And you just posted a blog article today on just what this update means, what associations should be aware of. So definitely check out mycondolaw.com. It's the first article that's posted. We'll be sharing that on all of our social media channels as well. There you have it, folks. All things you need to know about these latest updates regarding the Corporate Transparency Act, or the CTA. As always, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Each month, step into the world of legal enlightenment with Herzl's Condo Chronicles, the podcast brought to you by Herzl Law. Join us as we explore the ins and outs of the legal landscape, share intriguing case studies, and dive into the heart of legal matters affecting your community association. Plus, don't miss out on the monthly legal news updates with Herzl's Monthly Roundup, where we serve up the latest legal insights hot off the press. Get ready for a journey where law meets life and wisdom meets the everyday. The information on this podcast is intended for informational purposes only. This podcast is not intended to provide legal advice. The purpose of this podcast is to provide general education and information. This podcast may not reflect the most recent legal developments or future changes in the law. Herzl Law disclaims all liability in respect to actions taken or not taken based on any or all the content of this podcast, including the accuracy of any content to the fullest extent permitted by law. No business or client relationship is established by listening to this podcast. Any cases, law, or other scenarios discussed during this podcast are unique to that specific situation and are not indicative of a specific outcome in any other legal matters.